There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Northeast, especially the New England area. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We could roll out the politics of the day from Washington, but I think I want to roll out with snow because I can't believe in Boston 20 more inches. And, of course, all kinds of records are being shattered. If you are a weather person in New England, you are earning your pay. And you are the person everybody is listening to. And probably you're the person that everybody wants to strangle because you're delivering the negative news. The third major storm in 2 weeks, count it, 2 weeks, smashed into New England. 2 feet of snow. Oh, my goodness. The Massachusetts governor, Charlie Baker, declared a state of emergency, of course, because he needs more snow removal help. They are, what are they doing with this snow? They are melting it. They're melting it, but then that's causing all of this water, and they can't have floods, and they have enough, as I've stated before, and this really knocks your socks off. Let's quantify it. Close your eyes for a second and imagine enough snow to fill a football stadium 90 times. I mean, like packing it in. That's crazy. Well, it makes you happy to think when you live in a warm weather state, it makes you feel really good that you're not digging out of the snow. And some of those snowbirds, perhaps, that hit the road and get out of Massachusetts and get out of New Hampshire and all of those places that are getting smashed with the amount of snow that totals that they are probably feel pretty good. So snow depth in Boston, I mean, these numbers are crazy, 37 inches. 37 inches. That's the largest depth ever recorded since snow records began. The National Weather Service, the Boston office, oh, those people, they can't even answer the phones anymore. So they're going to the 140-character world of Twitter. They say that the city, and it's, by the way, trending. They call it trending. Trending on Twitter is the, Twitter is the snow. The city's gotten 76.5 inches of snow so far this winter. Wow. And it just goes to show you, too, it's location, location, location. Isn't that what real estate people say? Providence, Rhode Island, 4.2 inches of snow from the storm. Man. That's crazy. Boston can be some good living, but not during the winter and not during this winter. That's for sure, because that is a hard thing to, pardon the pun, weather. Because somebody's got to clear the sidewalks and you're responsible. Somebody slips and falls, you're going to get a lawsuit. So you have to either hire someone, be out there, whatever. And good luck trying to hire someone. Because those people are being hired by the city. They can't get enough people to clear what they need to clear. It's crazy. I think one of the coolest stories, and I don't want to bury it deeper into this hour of America tonight, is this story about Neil Armstrong and the fact that Armstrong's secret moon landing souvenirs have started to surface. You know, that was 45 years ago. So he had a bag full of stuff from the first lunar landing that he threw in his closet. Oh, man. This is the thing. When somebody dies, the things that you find often, it's so sad and hard, right? And then you start to go through things, and it's very revealing about the person. And this is pretty revealing. Armstrong's widow found this white cloth bag, and astronauts refer to it as the purse. It was filled with space hardware and some other things. I mean, you know, you figure he died in 2012, and he never told anyone that he had these things. And there was 20 different artifacts that he had that he brought back. And some of it included, like, utility lights, cables, a mirror, a helmet, a tie-down, a waist tether, an emergency wrench, a waist management cover, netting. It's like he took his tools. He took his tools back with him, I suppose. So good for his widow, who contacted the National Air and Space Museum about what she found, and the museum researched and documented the equipment. The camera is being displayed in a temporary exhibit right now, and they want to show all the items eventually. The curator says, hey, it's a collection of space artifacts. It's hard to imagine anything more exciting than that. So if you're going to Washington, make sure you go to the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum, because there's something that you'll be able to see. And the cloth purse is really actually kind of cool. It almost looks like a doctor's bag, but it's white. And most of it, I guess, is hardware. But the camera is really neat looking. But he wanted his tools, I suppose. And here, all those years, it sat. Think of the amount of time it sat in a closet. I mean, I guess he took it, just threw it in the closet and didn't think anything of it. And that was that. Wow. Another big story, of course, American sniper killer. The jury has been seated for his trial. What a sad ending to the life of Chris Kyle. And obviously Americans are drawn to the story because the book is selling again and again and again. And we had Jim DeFelice on with us a couple of weeks ago, talking about his dealings with Chris Kyle. He's one of the writers of that book. So a jury of 2 men, 10 women have been selected. That happened on Monday. It's a capital murder trial. Eddie Ray Ralph is the man accused of killing Chris Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield at a Texas gun range. And they are getting ready for opening arguments. And like I said, the world is wrestling with the whole Chris Kyle thing that became controversial somehow. And that movie has made over $300 million. What's sad about this, just this piece of it, is that Kyle and Littlefield were just trying to help him. Ralph is a former Marine. When he shot them at the Glen Rose, Texas Gun Club back in 2003. I mean, just a terribly sad thing, because he was helping so many veterans and felt like this was a way for them to get reengaged when they had PTSD and were having other problems. But it was just a terrible, unfortunate, awful thing that happened there. And I'll be curious to see, as we follow along with this, if in fact he does get the death penalty, or it's not death penalty, because it is capital murder, that's for sure. And it is the state of Texas, and there is no hesitation in the state of Texas if that's what it ends up being. So Eddie Ray Ralph, at this point, his fate awaiting him as they get to the opening arguments. And it's a lot of people will be paying attention to this case for sure. Not very far from our satellite facility, just a couple of hours. And I've actually been by that gun club where lots of people in the area go down there. And it was a terrible day when that news broke that had happened. And I think it's because of the fact that he was doing what I said, giving back to so many veterans. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, Ivan Eland puts his own spin on the money, the time, the manpower that we are pouring in to the Middle East. That's next on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Tonight, our pal Ivan Elin is in our virtual green room, the senior fellow and director, of course, at the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, and he's always pumping out some really interesting, I think, material that we talk about here on the show, and some of you agree a lot of times with what Ivan says, and some don't, and that's what makes it so interesting. He really has a beat on, I think, what we're talking about, and a little bit of a good edge there. So the headline is, America needs a more focused and restrained national security strategy. I'll just say it right there. What do you mean by that, Ivan?
Well, I think we need to decide what we want to do in the world and then make a master plan and do it. We haven't really had a master plan since the end of the Cold War. During the Cold War, our objective was to contain the Soviet Union and tell it fell of its own contradictions, as its author George Kennan said, meaning its communist system was non-viable. Well, of course, that actually happened. It took many years to do it, and that's what Condoleezza Rice was referring to in her statement, which is very true, whether you like her or not, and that is that a lot of these threats that we're seeing out there, they seem really bad because we see people burned alive and beheaded on TV, but of course, that's what this group is trying to do. They're trying to bait us, as Bin Laden did, to go over the top, and then they use an over-the-top Western response to get more recruits, money, et cetera, for their cause.
Yeah, you know, and there's a part in your blog where you say, America leads from a position of strength, but this does not mean we can or should attempt to dictate the trajectory of all unfolding events around the world. As powerful as we are and will remain, our resources and influence are not infinite. And in a complex world, many of the security problems we face do not lend themselves to quick fixes and easy fixes. And this is the problem, and this is what you and I have talked about a lot, these wars that we've gotten into that are never ending, from Iraq to Afghanistan, and then what happens when we're gone ultimately, what has changed. And this puts us in a position of weakness, actually, because of all the money, blood, sweat, and tears that we've spent, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I'm in the politically incorrect position of saying, well, you know, we've lost all these wars, where, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, now Libya's a mess. We've destabilized Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia with drone attacks. And you know, where does it end? What that quote that you quoted from my piece, that was actually Obama in his introduction to the national security strategy. And to me, that's what he says, just obvious. And I'm an economist, and so you never have all the resources that you want, no matter what you're doing, whether you're providing health care or making guns and weapons and that sort of thing. So, you know, you can't do everything. And I think our strategy has been to police the world. We kept doing what we were doing during the Cold War, after the Cold War ended, and yet, you know, Cold War ended, the circumstances changed, but our strategy didn't. And so, you know, we don't distinguish, like, why do we need to take out Muammar Gaddafi? It's actually a bad example, because he had actually one of the few authoritarian leaders that had made nice with the West. Now, he was still authoritarian, but he had given up his nuclear program and was playing ball. Well, if people like Saddam Hussein, who didn't have nuclear weapons, and Gaddafi, who gave his program up, are taken out, then, of course, that tells Iran, I need to get nuclear weapons really fast, because otherwise the U.S. could be over here taking us out. So I think you have to put, you know, we label people evil, and certainly some of these groups are evil, like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Arabian Peninsula, but they're sort of reacting towards an anti-colonial, posture. And they're really just, there's some religion involved in it, but it's really a secondary thing. It's really anti-colonialism. You know, the West, even before the United States became the superpower after World War II, the British and the French had dominated the Middle East. And so all these colonial powers, and a lot of the Arabs now regard the United States as a neo-colonial power. And the real thing that sets these jihadists off, and I've said this, but I can't say this enough times on this show and other ones, because it never gets in the media. What really jacks the Islamic radicals up is non-Muslim occupation of Muslim land or attacking Muslim land. And that's what the trigger was for bin Laden, and that's essentially what the trigger is for ISIS. But ISIS is a regional threat, and I think the solution here is we need to let our regional partners like Turkey, Jordan, handle ISIS. It's a regional threat, not necessarily a threat to the U.S., or not much of a threat. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula may be a different story, but we have to assess each threat, and perhaps we shouldn't go charging off and destabilizing some of these places. There's been empirical evidence that before we started bombing, there was like 150 to 200 Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula people in Yemen. Now, and then about, 5 or 6 years ago, they documented this meticulously. It had risen to over 1,000 after we started bombing. And who knows what it is today, because we're still at it. And I think the same thing has occurred with ISIS. There were 20 to 30,000 ISIS fighters before we started bombing, and now there's 50,000. And you say, well, why do people sign up for this brutal group when we're trying to do the right thing? Well, the problem is, when you're attacking people from the air, I'm not saying that the U.S. is doing it on purpose, but you always end up killing some civilian people. And a lot of this in Afghanistan and ISIS in Iraq, et cetera, they're, you know, your not a local. You don't get any. I wrote a book called The Failure of Counterinsurgency, and one of the big things is that even if you hand out candy to the kids, create development projects, you're still a foreign occupier. And we have to put when Napoleon was a great military commander, and one of the reasons that he would try to put his self in the adversary's shoes. And if we do that, perhaps we do need to take military action. We can make a little lighter footprint instead of cruising into the Iraq invasion. We also went to a nation-building occupation of Afghanistan, and we should have probably, toned that down a bit, because we could have decimated al-Qaeda without doing that.
Yeah. Again, great points. You always make great points, especially when you said they're talking about occupying Muslim lands, non-Muslims occupying Muslim lands, and you're right, people don't talk about that enough. Ivan Elin, feel better, my friend. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
All right, so you can tell Ivan, we know this is why we like having him on. He's so passionate about what he talks about. And in his blog, he made some just great points this time around about why do we keep doing the same things over and over and over again. You know, we're talking about defense spending, and we talk about what we spend all over the world, and then we look at the Ukraine, and what are we gonna do with the Ukraine? There's a push to do something there, to provide arms for the Ukrainian government to battle, of course, the Russians after what they've done, and the Russian-backed Ukrainian separatists, really, and put more possible boots on the ground to fight ISIS in the Middle East. How would you feel if we had boots on the ground fighting ISIS? Do you think that this would be a great use of resources? Are we going into the same thing again and again and again and again and again and coming out of it on the other side and saying, ugh, nothing really changed? And I find that to be the most depressing thing of all, putting people in these situations, putting our men and women, frankly, in situations that are unwinnable, where nobody comes out on the right side of this. And I, for one, certainly do not want to see that. And this is a string of things that are happening that could push us into that very thing, like I mentioned, ISIS for one, and providing more arms for the Ukrainian government. What happens there? We think of the war in Afghanistan, and we think of Iraq, and slowly pulling ourselves out of that, and then what happened in Syria. Now we've got Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen, and what do we do with all these Islamic countries? Is why I say it is trickier than quicksand. I say this all the time on the air. You've heard me, because it is, it is absolutely outrageous that we keep getting pulled in. Quicksand is the great analogy. You're stuck when you get in quicksand, and we are stuck with what's happening in the Middle East. So thanks to Ivan Elin for that. Stay with us. Much more to come on the flip side here on ATN.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial,
just like the one you're listening to right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome to the show. Two people who went on a wild odyssey. Imagine that you think you're covering one story, and you know, I'm in the media and I've done TV and radio, as you all know, and I can tell you that I never went on a 10-year journey, but they've produced this documentary, Lube Job. And I'll tell you what, when you think Lube Job, what are you thinking about? You're maybe not what's going to come out on the other side. Guy Hernandez and Stephanie Kovac join us now, award-winning director and producer. You mix it up all in between, and they come out with a wild story. Like I said, the untold story of Louisiana's deal with the devil, and that is the best way to put it. Think of the things that have happened in Louisiana. Think of Katrina. Think of the oil spill in 2010. Think of how that chaos and what that caused to the lives there. As many of you are listening to us in that area and have called me to talk about it, and I've been down to Mississippi and Louisiana, seen some horrific things myself, but they go even deeper in this documentary. Guy and Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So, Guy, tell me, first of all, how you, or tell us, how you hooked up with Stephanie and this became such a bigger journey than just covering a story or having a conversation that was interesting. What was the light bulb moment for you when you said, wow, this is just so much bigger?
Well, me and Stephanie have been working together for years. We started working together on a series, Forensic Files, which is actually back on the air. And we were down in Plaquemines Parish, South Louisiana, and people were coming up to us and saying, hey, who are you guys with? What are you guys doing down here? That's my Cajun accent, by the way. That's all I got. So they were coming up and talking to us, and they're like, you guys need to do the real story down here. And we were like, what's the real story? And they started telling us about the land loss. And we really didn't understand what they were talking about because, seriously, it's hard to understand. And people in Louisiana know what I'm talking about. It's hard for people that aren't there to understand what's really going on until you really immerse yourself in it. And that's what we had to do.
And so when you look at the train wreck that is, Stephanie, when you started to talk to the people, and you're a documentary producer, and you know this, and you know how you go one way, and then something leads you in a different direction, and this might be a tough question, but what stunned you the most about what you found out?
I think what stunned me the most is to find out that we started filming, let me just back up for a second. We started filming, our plan was to film before Katrina, and then Katrina hit, and the entire Louisiana coast was completely decimated. And we knew in order to make people understand what was happening and what was being lost, we knew we had to capture the beauty of what we were losing. So we had to wait 18 months and kind of let the area kind of bounce back, from the devastation. But Katrina, in a way, like, further fueled my desire to tell this story, because it didn't make sense to me that a 28-foot storm surge could travel 50 miles inland. And I wanted to understand why. And to answer your question, what we found out is that there's no buffer left. There used to be a whole lot of protective turf out there between, New Orleans and the sea, the Gulf of Mexico, which is some 50 miles away. And every 3 miles of those wetlands can absorb a foot of storm surge. So you have to do the math. Had there been wetlands intact, it's possible that Katrina's surge would have only been 10 to 12 feet.
Wow. Unbelievable. And I think a lot of people don't realize, even now, afterwards, what it's like in parts of Louisiana especially. Do you think that's true, Stephanie, that we don't really, we get little snippets on the news if you watch the television news or if you're getting it through the internet and searching for things. Do you think that we really don't know just how serious the damage was?
I there's no question that people don't know. I think the other thing that most people don't know is, what Louisiana gives to this country. Louisiana gives a third of the nation's oil and gas. Louisiana gives a third of the nation's seafood. And what this film uncovers is that one industry is killing the other.
Wow, meaning talking about oil versus survival and water, right?
The survival and also the seafood industry itself. The seafood, from the shellfish, the crabs, the menhaden, every fish you can think of has to survive in the marsh. The marsh is the nursery. It's where where all of life begins. And the fact that we're losing the wetlands, we're losing the Louisiana marshes, the fish can't survive. There's no nursery left.
And it's
directly contributed to the oil. I mean, the river plays a part. The Mississippi River, the fact that they levied the river and the river can't deliver the sediment to the region and continue to build the delta, but it's a fraction of it. Scientists can attribute at least 76% of the destruction of the wetlands directly to the oil and gas giants.
Yeah. So, Guy, what do you think the solution is? What do you hope with this documentary, that will open more eyes?
I think that definitely people need to truly understand what's going on down there. Some say it's just too late. A lot of the Cajuns that we spent the last decade with going over this, they're convinced that it's too late. They're never going to bring the land back. But then we talk to some other people that have a different opinion. There are programs in place right now that they're trying to rebuild some of the barrier islands, and with some success, it's working. But at a huge cost. They had a big lawsuit
filed against the oil and gas giant to try to get them to pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
But the state legislation stepped in and put an end to that. Because, you know, oil and gas has really helped South Louisiana as much as it's hurt South Louisiana. It's given people down there a really means to an income. They've been able to have great jobs. They've been able to prosper, but at what cost? And it's actually come into that time where the reality of that prosperity is coming. It's time to pay the piper. They really did at one point. Somewhere along the line, a deal was made, and that deal is you know, the debt needs to be paid, and unfortunately, it's being paid with their land.
Yeah. Stephanie, what's been the reaction to that, to what Guy just said? You know, what he's talking about, that people are having to make this, it's like he said, it's time to pay the piper. What do you find when you're talking to people? Do they want to really see that happen? Because it is the thing that fed the families for so long.
Yeah, you know what? It's very, very, it's complicated. It's complicated, and it's deeply psychological. And, you know, it's 95% of the people who live in Louisiana have never lived anywhere else, which is staggering. I mean, states just don't operate that way. So consequently, they've never known anything that's not controlled by oil interests. And it comes down to, like, well, if the industry's bad, then that means Uncle Harry's bad, and maybe I'm bad. And it's so deeply rooted in their psyche that they've become, you know, it's become, I mean, it's just kind of made for strange bedfellows in a way. Because they're so dependent on the industry. At the same time, I mean, most people will tell you in Louisiana that the issue of coastal land loss and coastal erosion should be the number one priority for the state. But yet, the state just will not say no to oil and gas.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
case
know,
in
if
point.
I was just going to say, if we were losing that much land to a foreign enemy, we would be at war. But we're losing it to Mother Nature, and we're just being complacent. No one's really trying, but a small group of people, to do anything about it.
Yeah,
and
the small group.
That's the thing, Kate. Between 1932 and 2000, we've lost 1,900 square miles of land in Louisiana. That's an area equivalent in size to Delaware.
Wow.
But what's even more amazing is the number hasn't been updated for 15 years. And some scientists say that it slowed. It used to be we were losing 25 square miles a year, and now we're losing 16. But you got to ask why. And the point is, we're running out of land to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And residents, as you said, there's just a handful of them, people that can do that are trying to do something. Do you think they just feel powerless, even if they think it's wrong?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of studies. The studies have been doing, they've been doing studies for 50 years. And it's one study after another about what we can do to stop it. But there's, you know, the Cajun fishermen will tell you, well, there's more studies than action being done. And you kind of have to ask why. And again, what this film uncovered, that was probably the most sobering thing of all is that the state doesn't have a lot of incentive to fix the wetlands. And the reason being is because the state owns the water bottoms. So as the land erodes, then the rights to the minerals underneath go back to the state.
Wow.
Yeah, the state's under Napoleonic law. So
it
could go under by an inch, and it reverts back to the state. And that's just unbelievable, you know. That. And there's cases right now, active cases right now, where people are trying to sue to get their rights to what? Of their share of their revenue from their mineral rights that the state has confiscated because their land has gone under. But then you look at the oil giants, and they're the only ones that are dredging their land. They have big levees built around their land. They are protecting themselves from this, from the state.
Yeah. So it's called Lube Job, the documentary, How Louisiana Got Screwed. I love that part. Again, Lube Job, How Louisiana Got Screwed. If people want to see it, when is it coming out? Where can they see it?
So we're anticipating a spring release, likely next month. For now, we invite people to watch our trailer on our website, lubejobsfilm.com. Also, they can go to our Facebook page, simply search Lube Job Film, and they can also find us on Twitter at Lube Job Film.
I love it. Stephanie Kovac and Guy Hernandez, will you guys come back on with me and tell me a little bit more as we get closer to this and we start to really pump this out?
Absolutely,
yeah,
we'd love to.
Yep, terrific stuff. We'll be talking about it tonight on America Tonight. What do you think? People in Louisiana listening, give me a call, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. We'll be right back.
This is Tim Austin, Senior Vice President of Kmart. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year. That's why Kmart is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm telling you, take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Tales of American Political History with Clinton Porter Hackney.
We've been discussing a longtime group of prisoners known as vets in the L.A. County, California State Prison. The mission of the vets group has always been to provide support for fellow military veterans in the prison and to do whatever they could to help those still serving in the armed services, such as raising what little money they could for organizations that sent care packages to soldiers overseas. As the years of the War on Terror progressed, it was common for visitors to go to the prison to meet with the vets group to thank them and continue to encourage them. Mostly it was just people hearing about the vets' mission and wanting to support them. One of those that just heard about it was a retired L.A. police officer who had also served in the Army Reserve. Join us again next time to find out who this officer was and why he was so special to the vets group. This is Clinton Porter Hackney of cphackney.com.
We're whipping around that final turn here in this hour of America Tonight. And as we crisscross in a couple of different directions, you know, it was just a couple of months ago that we were talking about Ebola. And I know I've mentioned this before, but having recently gone through the battle with strep and having had to go to an urgent care center to get something for the strep throat, as many of you can probably relate to if you've ever had to go to one of those, what do they call them, doc in a box, is because it was too late to go to the doctor in the evening. I've mentioned this a few times. They must have asked me, I don't know how many times, if I had been to West Africa, if I had Ebola. I thought, isn't this interesting, because 10 miles away from here, you didn't ask a guy who had been to West Africa whether or not he was there and any of that kind of stuff and any of those connections. But so now that the Ebola outbreak in West Africa has been, I'll call it, contained, and especially the hysteria over it in the United States certainly has died down, there's a lot of international support to do something about it because, you know, we've got these clinics that we helped build that are now dormant pretty much because it was a huge health crisis, but now it's not. So what happens? I saw a story today and I thought about this. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. What happens to the billions of dollars worth of resources that were thrown into West Africa? The military ends its Ebola response mission now. You know, it's ending it. It's gradually withdrawing the 1,300 troops because you know that. Remember, there was all the troops that were there. As of January 5th, the Defense Department spent $385 million on Operation United Assistance since October. That's how much that was spent to hurry up, get up some clinics, do something about what was happening with Ebola. And now it's about Ebola response and preparedness or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, does that whole fund get abandoned? So we're done. We're through that. We had some scares and we had some people come back and they had Ebola. And now we know where we stand in the United States. But we were certainly caught without a net when the Ebola crisis started. There's no question about that. So now that that has passed, what does it mean? This was a disaster. It was an epidemic, and it was a in West Africa, but it was a response here. So we throw all the cash out at it. We do the cash grab, throw it out. We got to stop it. And there had been 22,000 confirmed cases of Ebola. 9,000 people died in West Africa. And this was, like I said, just a couple of months ago, as of December 31st, if you look at the World Health Organization stats. So it's lower than what they were ultimately estimating, but still sounds so high, doesn't it? And our concern was, what about in the United States and where is it coming in? So now you have these centers, you have these protocols, you have this education, but do you continue to push and help fund whatever you can do so this doesn't happen again? And the answer is, how do you stop the outbreak of Ebola? I mean, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, they had a crazy amount of people coming down with Ebola. And certainly the USAID was incredible in helping with those new clinics, and those centers aren't being used since the infections have stopped. Thank goodness they stopped. But what do they do now at this point? You got supplies, you've got unopened boxes across the country, and do you store them up? How do you re-rack this, and what do you do with the money? And was there an incentive to just plop, put a Band-Aid over this, do whatever we have to do? And remember, the U.S. works with the U.S. Africa Command. Of course we do. And other non-governmental organizations are all over the place on this. And you have all these UTEs, they're calling them, the Ebola Treatment Units. And that was the mission. Get them up. Remember the troops? Get them up. Get people treated. All of that. And even the CDC has people in West Africa. But we sent a lot, 10,000 people. 10,000 people to stamp out Ebola to help whatever had to be helped with so it wasn't going to spread anymore. I mean, the target has to be zero, I would think, but that might be an elusive target. You see, because you have empty clinics, and that's good and all that, but there might be hot spots in some of these villages that are a little more remote that might start to crop up. So I wonder, is Ebola just a fading thought in your memory? Is it like, yeah, Ebola? I can remember the phone calls. I can remember people talking about what was happening and what was coming across the border with Ebola and how, boy, it needed to be stopped. It needed to be stopped. And this is one of the dangers of having people come in that we are not documented, that we don't know. How many times did we talk about that? A lot. So empty clinics, money thrown at. But where do you go from here? Where do you go from here with Ebola? And then there is this thing happening this week, I think, that has people buzzing that I have to mention, because there is always this fantasy, and Matt Johnson and I talked about this last night, about winning the lottery. I mean, that's always a question that comes up eventually. What would you do if you won the lottery? Where would you go? Would you talk to anyone again ever in your life? What would you do? Do you know that the jackpot is $450 million? It's one of the biggest ever in lottery history. It's a $2 ticket for the Powerball. But hitting that kind of money, they say you can get your payments over 29 years or take a cash sum. I'm going to tell you something. What is the question that Stephen Kelly always asks us? How long are you going to live? We don't know. Take the cash sum, if you could only be in that position. But you know what your odds are of winning the lottery? 1 in 175 million. But somebody has to win it, right? So who says it couldn't be you? What's a couple of dollars? A run through fast food somewhere. 1 in 175 million, but the Powerball up to $450 million. And Wednesday, you can be sure that you'll see all kinds of stories about the lines wrapped around buildings and, you know, convenience stores where people get tickets to take a chance on that $450. You can't help yourself. It's like a moth to the flame, right? If only you hit the 450. I mean, how often do you go to church bazaars and other things in your life where they sell tickets and they have door prizes? You plunk in rotaries and chambers of commerce do it. Plunk in a couple of dollars and you win perhaps the money back. Nothing like the $450 million, though. Thanks for listening to America Tonight. You can also send me your thoughts, as you know, 24/7. I got a frog to go and check out. 24/7AmericaTonight.net.
Alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing
structures. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.